This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Eyes on Isles. Let's do it again. One, two, three. Welcome to the Eyes on Isles regular show. I caught myself saying mailbag and I was like, blah, 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 let's do this one again. James, how are you doing today, buddy?
Doing well. Disappointing you guys every day, as always. How are you?
Oh, God. Oh, here we go. I'm doing all right. Obviously, there's some big news going on. Not necessarily Islanders related per se, but we're going to spend the bulk of this show talking about that because we spent the bulk of, not even the bulk, but an entire, I believe, Eyes on Isles regular show talking about just this player and Kevin Fiala, and he's no longer on the board. He's not going to be a New York Islander because he's a Los Angeles Kings. What happened here? Just in terms of the trade, let's just talk about what went where. How about that for just to start things off?
Yeah, for sure. So Kevin Fiala goes to the Los Angeles Kings in exchange for the first round pick from the Los Angeles Kings in the upcoming draft, which is 19th overall. And, oh God, I'm blanking on the name of the prospect.
Faber. I remember his last name.
Oh, right. Faber, the defenseman. Yes. Who is a, I want to say an A-minus chip prospect from the Wild. The outlook on him is that he's one, close to NHL ready, and two, he has the ceiling of that of a top four defenseman. And so I think that that was the intrigue for Bill Guerin right there. He's pretty close. He's got a good ceiling. He's not going to be a number one, but top four you'll take. And they're going to pick 19th overall. In addition to, I think they did they have also the 20-something, 27th overall, something like that? The Wild?
That makes sense to me. That is a good question. I don't know where everyone's draft position is necessarily, but we can certainly go and look it up right in meow. So 22 NHL draft, the Minnesota Wild had the 27th, you said? They had the 24th overall.
Oh, okay, 24th. Yeah, so they got two first-round picks, albeit, you know, later-round picks, but they got some assets to work with, so they couldn't take on any more money. It was the idea here.
That's right. Like, the whole reason they're letting go of Kevin Fiala is they don't have any money, and so it'd be dumb to be like, we're going to take more money. You guys, you know math, right? I know this isn't a math podcast, but the NHL is very much a math podcast, if you will, and you've got to factor that in. And so they couldn't take money in if they were shedding money out, which was the entire point of the trade itself. And so do they have it listed here? I don't think they have it listed. Maybe he's over. I'm just trying to find who the prospect is. I'm looking at the wrong, I'm looking at the right team. Faber. It's Faber. And I don't know where the hell. I guess he's not signed, and that's why he's not anywhere. Brock Faber. You'd think I'd remember Brock as a first name. Oh, my God. Anyways, Brock Faber is the one that goes to the Minnesota Wild from the LA Kings, as well as that first round pick, 19th overall. Faber, some people say he's done really, really well at the NCAA level. I'm saying he's done okay type of thing. Yes, the points aren't necessarily there, but he's not necessarily going to light it up either, specifically at that he's a sophomore player. But he's got 12 points in 27 games in his freshman year, and then he puts up 14 and 32 in his sophomore year. So not really taking a step up production-wise, but again, you can say he's not supposed to put up a lot of points. Okay, well, we're still talking about NCAA level here, right? So, like, let's chill a little bit. And if he's going to be a puck mover, you kind of want to expect a little bit more production necessarily.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure on the player who he is. I'm just necessarily talking from a standpoint of, who the experts are on this prospect. And I think it was Michael Russo himself, who obviously knows about Faber coming into the Wild now, saying that, he's a projected top four guy. So the intrigue there was that the Wild believe their prospect pool in the defensive department is thin. So that helps bolster that right there.
That's true. So that kind of helps. So they get a first round pick, a middle first round pick, right? 19th overall. And they get what could be a top four defenseman, or seems to be a top four defenseman eventually at the NHL level.
Correct.
Now, obviously, then we have to make it about the Islanders, because that's the whole point of this shtick, is how does this impact the Islanders? Well, first and foremost, could the Islanders have paid what the Los Angeles Kings paid for Kevin Fiala? And we're not talking about contract yet. We're going to get to that in a second.
Sure.
Just in terms of assets going for the player, could the Islanders have matched that, you think?
I'm not sure. I don't know, because you start to fall into the territory of, if they match that offer, who can they really offer that's of the stature of Faber, right? You're probably looking at Aturatu, and that's it. So you're already losing the 13th overall pick, because that's a given. That's going to be the first chip in the deal. Then the next move is Guerin's going to ask for the Islanders' best prospect, which is Aturatu. And I understand trying to get an 85-point player, trying to get a 30-goal scorer, totally. That should be one of the priorities. However, there's other priorities this offseason too. So now you're giving your two best trade chips this offseason, if they even decide to trade Aturatu, for a 30-goal scorer, which is, again, a major need. However, there is also arguably a bigger need, a bigger hole to fill in that left spot on the second pair next to Noah Dobson. So there's a way to hopefully work this out for the Islanders in free agency where they don't have to lose anything. And maybe at the draft or whenever it happens, they do trade for a defenseman. But again, they could have matched it with the 13 and Ratu. Maybe they could have matched it with 13, I don't know, DeFore and a throw-in prospect. Maybe Bodie Wild overseas, if they're even interested in a guy like that. But now you're starting to talk about, okay, if it's not Ratu and you're adding a few more pieces, are we getting into the overpaying in assets territory?
That's the thing. So we spent a while talking about Kevin Fiala being the right fit, and it really does seem like it would have been the right fit for the Islanders. You got a guy who puts up a bunch of points, specifically goals, can play on the top line, or should be able to play on the top line. He didn't before. Plays well in the power play, good in puck movement, good in on the rush with his action to be playing with Matthew Barzal. But then you also have to get to the cost, and we're just talking about what assets you have to give up, and that's probably where Lou Lamoriello said, like, no, I'm good, because you got the 13th overall pick, and I don't know if you have to give up Aturatu, because you are going down seven steps from where the pick that the Los Angeles Kings gave, right? Or going up seven picks, right? So, like, how much is that seven pick difference worth in terms of prospect quality? You may not have had to give up Aturatu to do that. So you're probably saying, like, a first and, I don't know, like, a B prospect. Maybe a Balzuk, maybe. Maybe, and even then I'm kind of stretching it here, because I can't really think of too many B-level prospects. But I don't want to even say Salo, but maybe not even Wild. Let's just say Budzik, because we're keeping it defenseman to defenseman. Could the Islanders have done a 13th overall and Semyon Budzik for this? It seems to be, but like you said, first off, it doesn't seem like Lou Lamoriello even called about it. And then when you think about what Bill Guerin said, like, this is the one we wanted, this is what we were looking for, and we didn't want to tool anyone else around, so, like, we were done. So even if the Isles did call, they probably didn't have a lot of time to negotiate anything, even if that was the case, right?
Well, I don't want to sit here and say that the Islanders didn't call about it, right? They didn't make an offer.
Okay.
Or at least a formal offer anyway, fair, right? So that's not to say, though, that Lamoriello didn't pick up the phone and say, hey, Bill, what are you thinking about Kevin Fiala? What's your price point? What do you want to do here? You know, and I was also talking to someone else around the Kings who had said, you know, it might not have been that the Islanders didn't want to give up the assets. It might have been, okay, what's Fiala looking for? Mm-hmm. He just got the right to negotiate with the LA Kings and eventually signed, and we'll talk about that too. You know, for 7.9 or 7.85, something like that.
Yeah.
Million for 7 years. Can the Islanders necessarily afford that? And don't get me wrong, right? They're maybe taking a big swing at Johnny Gaudreau or Philip Forsberg for possibly more than that. However, right now, they don't really know, you know, are they going to be able to fill the blue line? Are they going to be able to acquire a top line winger? They need to know what their money's going to look like moving forward. And I have this feeling, this reservation, that the priority is on the blue line rather than the top line winger, and that's what they're saving the trade for. And they don't want to use up all their assets before they can. So it was a couple of things possibly in one, the priority is the defenseman, or two, it was the contract that, you know, Fiala was asking for, right? Because if they said, if you want to trade for him, you have to first talk to Fiala and say, do you want to sign here long term? And if not, do you want to trade for that guy? And if so, how much is he going to cost you? Almost $8 million a year. Not sure we can do that for Fiala. Maybe we can do that for, you know, $8, $9 million for Johnny Gaudreau, but Fiala, maybe not.
Yeah, and that's where it gets to the tough part, is the 7 by 7.875. And you're going, that's a lot of money, but I was okay spending that because I think the Islanders could make it work financially. It may be on a little bit of the heavier side, but you are signing an RFA. Who put up over a point per game and projects to be, well, he's just entering his peak, so he could do better. And then you surround him with better players like Matthew Barzal, you expect better results as well. So you're going to have to pay for potential, not so much result right now. And that's why it got to where it got. But you're right, at a certain point, like the Islanders are, the priority is defenseman first, right? You can run this group of forwards out, and we've spoken about it, we've written about it, we've spent a lot of digital ink on this. You can roll these same forwards out and win if you fix the defense. If you fix the defense, they could win. We've seen them do it, right? With this same forward group, they could do it. Yeah. Ideally, you want more production of these guys, and they could probably do that. But priority number one before getting a top line winger is that fixing that defense. And so you're right. Some of those assets, if you give them up now, you don't have them later. And so maybe that's the case, that they're going to try to get a big defenseman, and not just physically, but a big name defenseman. Maybe it's that Chychrun move. Yeah. Maybe it's not, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally it. And as I was talking about it, and as I'm listening to you now, I'm more and more convincing myself that it was all very possible that, you know, any of the teams that called Bill Guerin on Fiala said, yeah, we're willing. Give Fiala's agent a call and see what he's willing to do with you in terms of a contract extension, right? Because he needs a contract. Mm-hmm. And that could definitely be something that Lamoriello did.
I would imagine so, when
he picked up the phone and his agent said, yeah, he's looking for, you know, 7-8 years, this is the price point that we want for him to make AAV wise. It's very well possible that he said, all right, I'm not paying that kind of money for Kevin Fiala. I'd rather pay that kind of money for a Johnny Gaudreau or a Philip Forsberg, maybe even an Alex DeBrincat, who I'm told the Islanders can afford. Just depends on if Lou is willing to spend.
Like, when you say afford, do you say financially afford or assets afford? Wow.
I'm talking,
okay.
Assets. Yes, I'm talking assets. I inquired on that, and the answer I got was it depends on how Lou values his own guys, but they have enough to be able to get it done.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw the price coming out. I don't know if that's the accurate price, but I saw a price for Alex DeBrincat, and it was like four first round picks, and you're like, or three first and a roster player, or a young roster player, and you're like, I think it was two firsts, a level prospect, and a roster player that can evolve into something, and you're like, Jesus Murphy, it's the Chychrun price, if you will. That's too much for us to do twice, right? We can't do two of those.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the ask is gonna start high, and you know, maybe a team does step up and overpay. And to get a, you know, multi 40 goal scorer who's not even 25 years old yet. But at the same time, you know, we did see what happened with, like you said, the Chychrun situation, where he didn't end up getting dealt. And I think, I don't want to say the asking price for Chychrun has gotten lower now, because it was 3 to 4 assets before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
I think now it's the conversation is, you know, firmly at 3. So I guess it kind of decreased, but it was a 3 to 4 range, depending on what you were getting. Now it's 3. These things tend to change, right? So it's the very beginning of the offseason. Chicago just named their new head coach. Like, there's mm-hmm. there was this whole conference on the new direction of the Chicago Blackhawks. Like, they need to figure out which way is up for them first. Yeah. They're going to head into the draft. They're probably going to field a ton of offers on DeBrincat. Just see what the field is like. And then you're going to start to get a sense of, okay, this is what the price point is for most of the teams. Like, now we're going to see filter out which ones are offers that we can afford or that we should entertain, and which ones are not as good as those. And we're going to tell them no. So, and that's when you start, you know, finding bidding wars, right? Oh, well, we'll up our offer. And then, oh, we'll up our offer. So maybe there's a bidding war. Maybe there's not. Maybe it doesn't cost the plethora of assets that they're claiming it will. I'm assuming if it's from an Islander standpoint, obviously you're starting with the 13th overall pick.
Yeah.
There's probably no way Aturatu is not involved in that deal. And you could probably kiss William DeFore goodbye as well. Those are probably the three main pieces that have to start. Maybe Beauvillier goes too. Like, you're talking about a big trade for DeBrincat. Can the Islanders afford it? Yes. Does it also put them in a big hole in other areas? Kinda.
Yeah, absolutely. But is DeBrincat, like, when you just look at the current versus, and I know we started talking about Fiala, but we're now talking about DeBrincat, but it ties in together, because what you spend for Fiala can't be spent on DeBrincat.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you think about that trade package, so we're talking about first Ratu, and let's even just say leave it at Bo. Let's just leave it at those three things, right? The upgrade right there, DeBrincat to Bo, is clear. That's obvious.
Yeah.
And then your first, we don't care. We're looking to move it anyways. Ratu,
correct.
That would be nice to have, but though that is the cost of making business, right? Or doing business, if you will. And so that's unfortunate, but that's just how she goes. And he's going to get a good chance. Like, if you tell Aturatu he can go play in Chicago, he might get a chance to play in Chicago year one. Hell yeah, he'll take that. He'll be. And so, like, what's better for him, even if you look at it that way, if you really want to get positive here, it's probably doing that. Will that happen? I don't know. I have a hard time believing that Lou is going to make something that big of a move, just because he hasn't yet. He seemed very hesitant in shedding a lot of these futures, but at some point he's got to, right? He's got to make one of these moves, and so that would, I'm not going to say ideally be the one, because it would be nice, but I don't want to, like, I'm waiting for DeBrincat, and if it doesn't happen, I'm going to lose my mind. But it kind of gets into the point of why we're talking about Fiala. The whole point of the Fiala talk is, this is what happened. We're not getting him. What does that mean for us? Well, it means that we have to now start looking elsewhere for that forward, but it also means maybe that wasn't such a glaring need right meow for Lou Lamoriello, right? Like, it's kind of what you're saying about the defenseman.
Right. Exactly. And I want to be clear in saying too, you know, the cost of DeBrincat is, as much as I said, not necessarily sitting here and saying that that's something that they've thought about or have done. Those are just for instances. So, but again, I'm told that they could afford a DeBrincat if they wanted to, which means they definitely could have afforded a Kevin Fiala. They decided to pass up on that because if they're going to pay a price that they're uncomfortable with, maybe they want someone that's more like a DeBrincat, a 40-goal scorer, than a Fiala, who, although he had 85 points, he scored 30 goals, has a little bit of an issue scoring on the power play, which I would imagine that was something they might have looked into. But yeah, so now the attention turns to where else can you look, right? Because Fiala's gone. DeBrincat's the name we just talked about, but who else could the Islanders afford? And I assume in this conversation we're just going to stick with forwards, correct?
Yeah, like, it's well established, it is now canon that we believe from, I don't see anyone writing like, these guys were talking like they wanted a forward and they didn't get one, now they're changing their opinion. No, it's been well established that defense is probably the number one priority, mainly because that's what Lou Lamoriello came out and said. I'm looking for more offense from the defense. Those were his exact words. And so that is number one priority. But we're talking about a forward here today, so yes, let's keep the chat going about the forward itself and who else could be out there for them.
Yeah, it's funny too, because like you and I are on the same page. I do think that, and Lamorello's comments seem to make sense in saying that the priority is the defenseman. I still believe it is. However, the same person I was talking to did say that they do need the winger more. I was shocked to hear it. I didn't think that that was.
Has he looked at our team in terms of who's signed right now in terms of defense versus forwards?
Yes. I think the argument there was they need the elite talent
Oh,
because
yeah, that's.
that's probably that was the conversation, right? They
Okay.
missed out on an elite guy like Fiala, albeit maybe the lower end or the middle end of the elite talent. But
Elite ones type of thing, right?
The conversation was they need the elite forward more than they need the defenseman. I guess you can make an argument either way. But I'm with you. I honestly do think that the priority should be on defense. If it's not Chychrun, it should be a guy like who I wrote about today, maybe Sam Girard. I don't think he would be a bad fit. Oliver Shillington, Nicholas Haig, those guys. But that's a conversation for another time. Let's stick to the forwards for now. Anybody on your radar?
Well, you immediately have that's the thing when it comes to forwards. Anyway, obviously we've got the names that have already come out. We've got the DeBrincats, we've got the Fialas, well, no longer Fiala, and then your mind starts wondering, well, like, who else? Is Matthew Tkachuk in play? I don't think so. I think Calgary's going to do everything they could possibly do to keep him. That means Johnny Gaudreau probably shakes loose. Can they actually do it? I get worried with Johnny Gaudreau that the Devils are just going to come in and say, like, here's the check, write your name and the number, and we're good. Whereas when it comes to the Islanders, it's probably not going to be that Lou's not going to give him a blank check. It's going to be,
Right.
here's what I'm thinking. Is that okay? And then he goes over to the Devils, and they're going to go like, yeah, we'll give you $1 more. We don't care, type of thing.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's interesting. I'm not sure where either of the contracts of both Gaudreau and Forsberg, because those are the two big names right now for free agency, are at. I do know that the Predators, that this is public knowledge, the Predators offered him 8 years, him meaning Forsberg. However, the AAV wasn't released to the public, and it's also not a number that they wanted to agree to. So, and they meaning Forsberg's camp. So they're far apart in negotiations on a number, not the term. And with Gaudreau, listen, it's silent over on that front. You would think that if Gaudreau was going to resign, it would have happened already. We're getting awfully close to free agency. It's only like 2 weeks away. The draft is next week. You know, maybe his rights could be traded before then. Who really knows? But we're getting close, and I feel like, you know, you can go, oh, what about when Steven Stamkos, blah blah blah. This doesn't feel the same because they at the time didn't have a Matthew Tkachuk.
Also
Andrew
to resign,
Mangiapane,
right?
right? An Andrew Mangiapane to resign, an Oliver Shillington. Like, they didn't have a bunch of other issues to figure out as well. So this feels different, and it's possible he does make it. So, and that's the thing. What the last time a guy of Johnny Gaudreau's stature hit the free agent market, it was Artemi Panarin. The past few off seasons, there hasn't been high caliber names like this. Lou Lamoriello did throw the bag at Panarin. He just chose to go somewhere else. So maybe that's another reason why Lamoriello decided, I'm not going to allocate $7.9 million to Kevin Fiala when I want to pay Johnny Gaudreau 10.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? If you give Kevin Fiala 7-8, you're not getting Gaudreau. If you think that that's a possibility, I have my doubts. Mainly it's because not only the Devils thing, but I always worry. I don't like banking on free agents type of thing. I think maybe because we got burned with the whole 91 thing, that I'm now hesitant towards. I don't trust anything going into free agency.
Yeah.
And so I don't trust that someone like Gaudreau is A, going to even be there, or B, we're going to have the money to get him. But you're right. You spend 7.8 on Fiala for the next 7 years. You certainly don't have the money for Gaudreau. Now, there's also then the case if you pay him 7.8, you're paying Gaudreau probably 10. Do you then have the money for the defenseman that we've been talking about?
Right.
Lou obviously thinks so, right? Like, he was going to be okay giving Panarin, what is it, 11.5, maybe $12 million?
I think it was, yeah, 11.5.
We'd still be in that today.
No, I'm sorry. It was 12.5. He took 11.5 from New York, from the New York Rangers.
Right. So he was looking to spend that kind of money. Now, of course, he thought that the cap was going to go up, but I'm sure he's not sitting there going like, it's going to go up $10 million in a specific year. No, right. It was going to go up, incrementally. It didn't because, well, COVID hit, but he was still looking to make those deals, knowing that Matthew Barzal's deal was going to come up at this point. Knowing that Sorokin was going to probably need something because he's hoping to get him over to him too. Like, he was looking to spend that money. He's probably going to do the same thing here or have that same mentality when it comes to someone like Johnny Gaudreau, assuming he gets to where he needs to be for the Islanders, that is.
Right, exactly.
So outside of those two guys, like, you can look at any team and be like, this guy would be great, that guy would be great. But, like, we haven't heard a lot of these guys shake out. Vegas certainly comes to mind because they're already $2.6 million over the cap ceiling and they still have to sign guys like Riley Smith and Nick Hague. Regardless, or not even talking about Hague in terms of a target, but you look at some of their forwards and be like, maybe one of their guys shakes loose. I doubt it, but when you're looking, you're playing the kind of like who's a target game. It could be anyone, man. Like Pasternak still rings it like, with the crap that's going on in Boston, I hope to God Pasternak's like, yeah, I don't want to have to re-sign with you guys. I want to go somewhere else. I would toss a lot to get Pasternak, even if it's just for a year.
Yeah, I wonder how much David Quinn being behind the bench, and that's not official, but it looks like it's going to happen, factors into his decision. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who has some NHL experience, but not much, and not much in a successful environment. So, Quinn was behind the bench for the majority of the down years for the Rangers. Yeah. And then he was replaced by Gerard Gallant. So I don't know if he's going to resign there. I honestly couldn't tell you. But what probably helps is Patrice Bergeron coming back for another season. Just because, it's only one, but maybe there's a future for Bergeron in the organization. They have that conversation at some point this year, and that helps him decide to stay. So, but again, Pasternak is a guy who, if you're going to go all out for someone, he's the guy.
There's one other name, and that's Pierre-Luc Dubois.
You know, I was going to ask you about that before too, actually.
My man does not want to stay in Winnipeg. He's thinking of testing free agency.
Yeah.
Right. He said that I'm going to go to free agency. Dude's 24 and still has to sign a contract today. And he just told Winnipeg, I don't want to stick around.
Yeah.
Winnipeg's going, dude, we're supposed to negotiate an RFA contract today. And you're like, peace. I can't leave now. Crap.
Yeah. He did say he was going to test free agency in two seasons.
Right. Because he's only 24 now. So that means he's signing a bridge deal, I guess.
Yeah. Very interesting situation there. It's funny, actually. I think the Post just released an article saying why the Rangers should avoid him. Haven't read it yet, so I'm curious why they do think that. Maybe it's just in terms of cost, but
yeah,
he's a center, right? And the Islanders are pretty deep there with their best prospect being a center.
Yeah.
So where does he fit? Could he be a good wing? Maybe. I think he actually has some experience on the wing, but you probably don't want to move him out of his natural position. So I don't really know if there's a fit there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a fit?
Mm-hmm. Someone by the name of Matthew Barzal to the right wing position, please and thank you.
You think so?
I think Matthew Barzal is a better winger than a center. He's a fine center, but I think he's a much better winger than he is a center.
And why is that?
He's fast. He's shifty. He's up and down the ice. And doesn't mean that because you're a winger, doesn't mean you can't eventually like float to the middle.
Sure.
But you take away some of those defensive responsibilities, which is maybe not his strongest game, the strongest part of his game. And you put Pierre-Luc Dubois there, and then you give him Matthew Barzal to work with. Yippee-ki-yay. Look out.
So you think that Pierre-Luc Dubois is good enough as a number one center?
Yep. I think so.
Interesting. Would he want to stay long term, or does he want to test free agency? that becomes your issue. So you're not gonna pay a bunch of assets to Winnipeg, who's surely gonna ask for a boatload, despite mm-hmm. you know, having the knowledge that he's not gonna stay, because they don't have to trade him. They could just reap the benefits of him for two more years. So,
well, and that's the question, right? Like, would Lou Lamoriello even want to bring in a guy who said, "I don't want to stick around"? That's not really showing a whole lot of loyalty. So the only way sound it would, like a Lou Lamoriello thing.
Yeah, the only way it would work is if he decides to do what Fiala just did and sign long term as he gets traded.
Right. So we'll see there. But that's just one of those other names you're going, what if? Of course, that's the game we have to play now. Of course, Kevin Fiala wasn't the only name that we had on our list type of thing. It's just one of the top names. Alex DeBrincat was on top, and the next was Kevin Fiala, mainly because we knew he was getting shopped, and we knew he was going somewhere.
Someone else I wonder about, because we always talk about Jacob Chychrun. Mm-hmm. There's another guy in Arizona who's pretty good, and no one ever talks about him moving, and I don't know if it's because maybe he likes it where he is, but Clayton Keller is a hell of a player, mm-hmm. and he had a good season last season on a really shitty team, so it's quite possible that someone steps up and says, hey, let me get Keller, and listen, Arizona's like, look, we're full send, gonna rebuild here. We're only gonna have 5,000 fans in front of us for like next four seasons. So, you know, maybe we'll just do this now and you know, draft the hell out of a team, and we'll see you in 2028.
Probably with these like super mature like Uber kids.
Yeah.
But you're right. Keller's got 63 points, 28 goals, and 67 games last year for a not very good team with not a whole lot of talent on it. He's their highest paid player by a healthy margin at 7.15. He's re-signed for the next 6 years, 6 years after this. That's a good deal. 7.15 for a 23-year-old. That could work, man. Yeah, it's not going to be cheap, but it's not going to be as expensive as DeBrincat. It's going to be more expensive than Fiala. But you're getting a younger guy already locked in at a cheaper number. All right.
Yeah, good work.
Definitely. And we're not talking about a center, right? We're a guy who could play on his off wing, on his strong wing, on left, on the right. So, heck yeah, maybe. Let's go. Well, he turns 24 in a couple of weeks. So he'll be 24 soon. So.
Ooh, oh, no.
But still, right? Like, we want to get younger. This is definitely getting younger.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of talks this one into a crater, right? Like there's nothing else to go in terms of the Kevin Fiala situation.
Yeah, Fiala's gone. He's in LA. He's extended long term. Move on to the next, and we might get some answers, you know, within the next week. Again, the draft is in 7 days, so we might know soon.
Yeah, and so we'll see where this goes. I guess final thing in your rating, how bummed are you? And from like one is not really bummed to five really bummed. Where are you at right now?
I'm like a two.
I would say the same.
There's plenty of fish in the sea.
Yeah. Like it kind of sucks, but I'm also the mind that, well, okay, that's not what Lou did. What will Lou do is really what we want to know, right? So
yep. We
know it's not this. Okay, fine. If you were the mind that this was the move to make and there's no other question, well, let's see what else happens here.
Yep, exactly.
So I think that's that. We're going to close out the show here, see the end of this Memorial Cup game, where as we speak, the Sea Dogs go up 5-2 on the power play.
So William DeFore playing playmaker on that one.
Epic. I love to see that. Kid is all over the place. So, James, another one in the books, buddy. I won't be back for the next one.
That's right. Nope.
That was it.
Oh. That was it. We thank you for your services for the past 6 years. And we wish you nothing but the best, pal.
Oh, the best has already happened. Just making shows with you, it has been the best. So let's go, buddy. Another one in the books. And I will see you all at some other time. And James, I guess you'll see them next week or something.
Absolutely. Talk to you guys soon.